Ambangala Manura Maria.
Jesus, yes, number 61.
For a minute or so, the chopper hovers 20 feet overhead. All the people inside are staring down at the tablet, which has burst out of its wrappings in the middle of the bullseye. The plastic has torn apart around the corners, and fragments, large fragments of the tablet, have sprayed out for a few feet in either direction. Hiro stares at it too, still safe behind the cover of a parked chopper. He stares at it so hard that he forgets to stare at anything else. Then a couple of wire heads land on his back, smashing his face into the flank of the chopper. He slides down and lands on his belly. His gun arm is still free, but a couple more wire heads sit on that. A couple on his legs, too. He can't move at all. He can't see anything but the broken tablet 20 feet away on the flight deck. The sound and wind of Rife's chopper diminish into a distant puttering noise that takes a long time to go away completely. He feels a tingling behind his ear, anticipating the scalpel and the drill. These wire heads are operating under remote control from somewhere else. Ing seemed to think that they had an organized RAF defense system. Maybe there's a hacker in charge, an N, sitting in the Enterprise's control tower, moving these guys around like an air traffic controller. In any case, they are not very big in spontaneity. They sit on him for a few minutes before they decide what to do next. Then, many hands reach down and clasp him around the wrists and ankles, elbows and knees. They haul him across the flight deck like pallbearers face up. Hiro looks up into the control tower and sees a couple of faces looking down at him. One of them, the N, is talking into a microphone. Eventually they come to a big flat elevator that sinks down into the guts of the ship, out of view of the control tower. It comes to rest on one of the lower decks, apparently a hangar deck where they used to maintain airplanes. Hiro hears a woman's voice speaking words gently but clearly.
Melulu mualnu umnemki me melulumu mealnu umnealnu umeme me me mululu elulum medugamu mumuleyalu eme.
It's 3 feet straight down to the deck, and he covers the distance in free fall, slamming down on his back, bumping his head. All his limbs bounce loosely on the metal. Around him he sees and hears the wireheads collapsing like wet towels falling off a rack. He cannot move any part of his body. He has a little control over his eyes. A face comes into view, and he has trouble resolving it, can't quite focus, but he recognizes something in her posture. The way she tosses her hair back over her shoulder when it falls down. It's Juanita. Juanita, with an antenna rising out of the base of her skull. She kneels down beside him, bends down, cups one hand around his ear, and whispers. The hot air tickles his ear. He tries to move away from it, but can't. She's whispering another long string of syllables. Then she straightens up and gooses him in the side. He jerks away from her. "Get up, lazy bones," she says. He gets up. He's fine now, but all the wireheads lay around him, perfectly motionless. "Just a little nam shub I whipped up," she says. "They'll be fine." "Hi," he says. "Hi. It's good to see you, Hiro. I'm going to give you a hug now. Watch out for the antenna." She does. He hugs her back. The antenna's upside his nose, but that's okay. "Once we get this thing taken off, all the hair and stuff should grow back," she whispers. Finally, she lets him go. "That hug was really more for me than for you. It's been a lonely time here. Lonely and scary." This is typically paradoxical behavior for Juanita, getting touchy-feely at a time like this. "Don't get me wrong," Hiro says, "but aren't you one of the bad guys now?" "Oh, you mean this?" "Yeah. Don't you work for them?" "If so, I'm not doing a very good job," she laughs, gesturing at the ring of motionless wireheads. "No, this doesn't work on me. It sort of did for a while, but there are ways to fight it." "Why? Why doesn't it work on you?"
"I've spent the last several years hanging around with Jesuits," she says. "Look, your brain has an immune system just like your body.
The more you use it, the more viruses you get exposed to, the better your immune system becomes. And I've got a hell of an immune system. Remember, I was an atheist for a while, and then I came back to religion the hard way. Why didn't they screw you up the way they did David? I came here voluntarily. Like Inanna, yes. Why would anyone come here voluntarily? Hero, don't you realize? This is it. This is the nerve center of a religion that is at once brand new and very ancient. Being here is like following Jesus or Muhammad around, getting to observe the birth of a new faith. But it's terrible. Rife is the Antichrist, Hero says. Of course he is, but it's still interesting. And Rife has got something else going for him. Eridu, the city of Enki, Hero says. Exactly. He's got every tablet Enki ever wrote. For a person who's interested in religion and hacking, this is the only place in the world to be. If those tablets were in Arabia, I'd put on a chador and burn my driver's license and go there. But the tablets are here, and so I let them wire me up instead. So all this time, your goal was to study Enki's tablets. To get the May, just like Inanna. What else? And have you been studying them? Oh, yes. And? She points to the fallen wireheads. And I can do it now. I'm a Baal Shem. I can hack the brainstem. Okay, look. I'm happy for you, Juanita. But at the time being, we have a little problem. We are surrounded by a million people who want to kill us. Can you paralyze all of them? Yes, she says. But then they die. You know what we have to do, don't you, Juanita? Release the Namshub of Enki, she says. Do the babble thing. Let's go get it, Hero says. First things first, Juanita says. The control tower. Okay. You get ready to grab the tablet, and I'll take out the control tower. How are you going to do that? By cutting people up with swords? Yeah. That's the only thing they're good for. Let's do it the other way around, Juanita says. She gets up and walks off across the hangar deck. The Namshub of Enki is a tablet wrapped up in a clay envelope covered with the cuneiform equivalent of a warning sticker. The entire assembly has shattered into dozens of pieces. Most of them have stayed wrapped up inside the plastic, but some have gone spinning across the flight deck. Hero gathers them up from the helipad and returns them to the center. By the time he's got the plastic wrapper cut away, Juanita is waving to him from the windows on top of the control tower. He takes all the pieces that look to be part of the envelope and puts them into a separate pile. Then he assembles the remains of the tablet itself into a coherent group. It's not obvious yet how to piece them together, and he doesn't have time for jigsaw puzzles. So he goggles into his office, uses the computer to take an electronic snapshot of the fragments, and calls the librarian. Yes, sir. This hypercard contains a picture of a shattered clay tablet. Do you know of some software that would be good at piecing it back together? One moment, sir, the librarian says. Then a hypercard appears in his hand. He gives it to Hero. It contains a picture of an assembled tablet. That's how it looks, sir. Can you read Sumerian? Yes, sir. Can you read this tablet out loud? Yes, sir. Get ready to do it. And hold on a second. Hero walks over to the base of the control tower. There's a door there that gives him access to a stairwell. He climbs up to the control room, a strange mixture of Iron Age and high-tech. Juanita's waiting there, surrounded by peacefully slumbering wireheads. She taps a microphone that is projecting from a communications panel at the end of a flexible gooseneck. The same mic that the N was speaking into. Live to the raft, she says. Go for it. Hero puts his computer into speakerphone mode and stands up next to the microphone. Librarian, read it back, he says. And a string of syllables pours out of the speaker. In the middle of it, Hero glances up at Juanita. She's standing in the far corner of the room with her fingers stuck in her ears. Down at the base of the stairs, a wirehead begins to talk. deep down inside the Enterprise, there's more talking going on. And none of it makes any sense. It's just a lot of babbling. There's an external catwalk on the control tower. Hira goes out there and listens to the raft. From all around them comes a dim roar, not of waves or wind, but of a million unchained human voices speaking in a confusion of tongues. Juanita comes out to listen too. Hira sees a trickle of red under her ear. "You're bleeding," he says.
"I know."
"A little bit of primitive surgery," she says. Her voice is strained and uncomfortable. "I've been carrying around a scalpel blade for cases like this." "What did you do?"
"Slid it up under the base of the antenna and cut the wire that goes into my skull," she says.
"When did you do that?"
"While you were down on the flight deck."
"Why?"
"Why do you think?" she says.
"So I wouldn't be exposed to the Namshub of Enki."
"I'm a neurolinguistic hacker now, Hero. I went through hell to obtain this knowledge. It's a part of me. Don't expect me to submit to a lobotomy."
"If we get out of this, will you be my girl?"
"Naturally," she says. "Now let's get out of it."